Hi, this is Mark. It's my pleasure to share this message with you entitled Perfect Love Casts Out Fear. Fearfulness is at epidemic proportions in our world today, and the church has not been immune to fear's influence. You name it, people are afraid of practically everything. Fear is not from God, and fear will choke your faith. But it's not enough for me to just say, don't be afraid. We need to know what practical steps we can take to neutralize fear in our lives. Love, the God kind of love, casts out fear. I hope this message will bless you.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hungry hearts that are anxious to receive from you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We believe, Father, that tonight lives are going to be changed by the words that are spoken. Holy Spirit, we thank you for ministering to every person's heart. Holy Ghost, take the words that I speak and minister them to their hearts. Give them the understanding. I thank you for it. We come against any of the powers of darkness right now that would in any way try to bring disturbances or distractions. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you for this message this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been looking at in the last three messages that I've preached, the love of God for us, and I've made a series out of this, and the title of the series is God Loves Me. Glory to God, God loves me. We're just so grateful that God loves us. And so what we want to do is we want to look at what the Word of God has to say tonight about God's love for us. And I think what you're going to find tonight is a message that you're going to be able to apply to your life right now. We're going to, the title for tonight's message is going to be Perfect Love Cast Out Fear. The fears that people have, my goodness, when you think about it, I mean, this is a topic that you look at people's fears. It's almost a never-ending topic. You have people that have phobias, fears about pretty much everything, quite honestly. And none of that is God. Anything that's based in fear is not God. God is not, God does not want us to be fearful. But if I just came out and told you, don't be afraid, and didn't give you any kind of help on how to not be afraid, well, that wouldn't do you a whole lot of good, just telling you that. But there's a way. And we're going to look in the verses tonight leading up to the one main verse that we have used as more or less the centerpiece for the series, which is 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. If you have your Bible, we can begin by reading that verse. We love him because he first loved us. And, you know, that's one of those verses, I'll be honest with you, for the longest time, I would read 1 John, the fourth chapter, and just breeze right on by that verse and not really appreciate the depth of what's being said there. You know, for the longest time, my focus of attention has been on my love for God, and I have failed to appreciate his love for me. I failed to acknowledge the depth of his love for me, and the fact that had it not been for his love for me, there would be no love for him on my part, Because his love for me is what made my love for him possible. We do ourselves a disservice if we spend our life just focusing on our love for him and we fail to appreciate, we fail to acknowledge and just bask in his love. Just allow his love to just flood all over us. Recognize his love for us. And when we do that, we're going to see tonight. Because the verses leading up to the 19th verse are going to tell us exactly what I've been saying about recognizing, believing in his love for us. And when we will do that, it's going to affect the part of us that walks in fearlessness, that is not consumed with fear. If you're a person that is consumed with fear, I'm telling you, you don't have to stay that way. And that's a bondage, and it's not from God. You know, God wants us to walk in faith, in believing what he has accomplished for us, in simply believing that he loves us. It will affect that fearfulness, and it will begin to eradicate that fear on the inside of us. We read the 19th verse. Go backwards now. Verse 15 says, and we're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So what are we saying here? We're talking about if a person confesses the Lordship of Jesus. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Confess him as Lord of your life. He is the Son of God. And it says that if you'll do that, God dwells in this person, and this person dwells in God. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Stop right there. These are the verses. These are the words right here that confirm what I've been saying about this importance of knowing God's love for us. Once again, verse 15 is telling us about being born again, that, okay, here is a person, made Jesus the Lord of their life. And then that person, going into verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now, as I have meditated this and looked at this, John is being very kind here as he says this. And look at what it says. We have known and believed. I just zipped right past those words so many times. Look at them. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We've known and believed the love. Well, I'll be honest with you. For me personally, this revelation of knowing and believing the love that God hath for me, I've been a little bit gray in that area. In other words, John in his graciousness has said, we have known and believed. Mark has been a little rusty right here in the knowing, in the believing of the love that God hath for us, to us. So this is something that I'm working on right now. Knowing, experientially knowing, and believing this love. John's saying that there's more here than just, oh, God loves me. And really just a mental assent, mental understanding of this. Oh, yes, God loves me. Yes, I know God loves me. Sure, I do. That there's much more than that. Knowing and believing in this love that God hath to us. Knowing and believing. This is where this revelation is taking root inside of us. It's manifesting in and through us. This is much deeper than a head knowledge, a mental assent of, oh, thank God, I know you love me. I know you love me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You love me. No, this is much more than that. Much, much more. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. And God in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is love. And when we dwell in love, we're dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in us. See, this dwelling in love is not something that comes naturally. It doesn't come naturally as just a human being. This type of love that we're talking about here is not humanistic love. This is the God kind of love. So when we are dwelling in him, when we're dwelling in God and we're dwelling in love, this is not humanistic love. So how, Mark, can I dwell in this love? Is this just a choice that I make? I'm blessed God, I'm gonna love my neighbor. Yes, I am. And then your neighbor does something really stupid, and you start rethinking this decision you've made to love your neighbor. It's not a decision. Loving is not a decision. It is a product of you receiving his love, you acknowledging his love, and that love that has come, that originates in God and is manifesting in us as we appreciate his love for us, as we acknowledge his love for us. That love then goes towards our neighbors, towards the people around us. Then we're loving others as we love ourselves. But it doesn't start by making the decision, bless God, I'm going to love that rotten neighbor of mine. See, that's not where it begins. It begins first with between you and God, and then it goes from you to other people. So let's pick up here in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. In 16, we are knowing and believing in the love that God hath for to us, not for us, to us. I think for a long time I thought it said for us, but it doesn't. It says to us. Look in your Bible. Don't let it slip by you. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. To us. Not for us, but to us. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein, now, when John wrote this letter, he didn't divide it up in chapter and verse. It's been divided up so that we could reference these verses more easily. But when he wrote this, he wrote a letter. So when he finished the sentence, the last sentence in verse 16, and began with the what we call the 17th verse, the first sentence in the 17th verse, he wrote the word herein. Herein. Herein is based on what was said in 16. What was said in 16 was talking about the idea of knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. And then he begins and he says, herein is our love made perfect. Our love made perfect based on the idea, the concept of knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. When that happens, as we're doing this, as the revelation is manifesting in us, herein is our love made perfect. It's affecting our love for God, our love for others. Herein, because of what you saw in 16, knowing and believing the love that God hath to us, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Think of everything that's being said in this 17th verse. Herein is our love made perfect, because we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Herein is our love made perfect. God dwells in us, we dwell in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That day of judgment, when you see other references in the scriptures talking about the day of judgment, it is the day of judgment. And we're having boldness because we're not being judged that day. For us, sin has been judged. And we have a knowing that God loves us, and when we stand before him, we're not going to be condemned like the world is going to be condemned, because Jesus paid the price for our sin. See, it all goes back starting in that 15th verse. The 15th verse, whosoever shall confess, that's what we did. Jesus is the Son of God. See, this all follows up to having that boldness on the day of judgment. We confess him as the Lord of our life. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Our love is made perfect. Our love is made perfect so that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, so are we in this earth. Now, as I've looked at that verse, and that verse very frequently gets pulled out of the setting, and people use it. And I'm not casting aspersions or anything. I'm not casting stones at people. But if we leave it in the setting and we see what he's talking about, is he not talking about love? Yes, he is. Talking about love. And what does he say just after this verse that says, as he is, so are we in this world? Well, verse 18 is the next sentence in his letter. There is no fear in love. What? There's no fear in love? How do we get here? If you think about what was said in the previous sentence, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. So how must he be in heaven? Well, he's sitting victorious. I am victorious. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. In him, I am seated at the right hand of the Father. The devil is defeated because he defeated him. On my behalf, the devil is defeated. So everything that he has, that he is, I have access to. And I'm accounted the same way because I am identified in him. But particularly, what is said in the next verse? The next verse, verse 18, the next sentence here in his letter, there's no fear in love. So if you keep it in context, and we're talking about as he is, so are we in this world. Is Jesus in fear of anything? Absolutely not. He is not in fear of anything. That is exactly the way that we are supposed to be in this earth. We are supposed to be fearless. Fearless. No fear whatsoever. To me, as I read this, the best application of what is being said here, as he is, so are we in this world. Because it's followed up in the next sentence by saying there's no fear in love, perfect love cast out fear, because it immediately goes to the issue of love, perfect love, and fear. To me, what it's saying is, he's in heaven. He is absolutely not in fear. As I am in this world, I am to be completely, totally fearless. Fearless. No fear whatsoever. Well, Mark, how do you get that way? And I know that I'm talking to people. Hey, there are all kinds of things to be afraid of. And the devil makes sure that you're afraid of something. Whether it's afraid of dying, afraid of something happening to your family, afraid of what people think about you. There's a big fear. What people think about you. And a lot of people spend their life afraid of what somebody else might think about them. Man pleasers. If they don't have the acceptance of their peers, well, then it's all lost. They're fearful of losing that acceptance from their peers. That's not God. What do you do if what the Lord is directing you to do contradicts or comes crossways with what your peer group says? Are you going to follow them? Are you going to follow God? Which one is it going to be? Well, if you have not developed the understanding inside of you of his love for you, and that is superior in you to the love of people, the love of their ideas, the love of their acceptance, the desire for them to accept you. If his love for you does not trump that acceptance, that desire that you have to be accepted, you're going to follow them. You will follow them. So what we have to do, we have to develop this appreciation, revelation, however you want to call it. of his love for us, believing his love for us, knowing his love for us. Because when we do that, it's going to affect our fearlessness, being fearless. No matter what is said, no matter what is done, that we will be fearless in following our Lord Jesus. There are so many things that the enemy will use to try and stop us. And he always comes at us with these temptations. And so often it's a temptation to fear. And that temptation to fear, it leaves us with a decision to make. Are we going to follow that fear? Are we going to have faith and trust in what Jesus has accomplished for us? It's very simple. Which way are we going to go? And I have a feeling that far too many Christians, they go the way of fear. And they'll justify it by saying, well, brother, this is a good one. You got to use wisdom. You got to use wisdom. And generally, if you really pare it down to what the real issue is in their heart, it's a fear of something. Let's say, for example, symptoms arise in your body, some kind of symptoms. I don't care what they are, but serious symptoms. And your friends, your family, what do they do? Well, they'll tell you, you better go to the doctor. You better find out what's wrong. But I know what God's word says. I know that it says that by the stripes of Jesus, glory to God, I am healed. I was healed and I am healed. Well, brother, you better use some wisdom with that. You better go to the doctor and find out what's wrong with you. And believe me, I'm not against doctors. If you need a doctor, by all means, go to a doctor. Don't go without your faith, by all means. But if God has led you in the direction, let's say that it's just simply not possible to go to a doctor. How about that? Let's just say that that's not that. There's just no option of a doctor, just none at all. Now what do? Now what's wisdom? Well, I guess, Mark, if there's nothing else, let's pray. If there's no other options, let's pray. Well, that needs to be the first option, and that needs, really, to be honest with you, it should just be your only option, because what about the people that live in places where there are no doctors? Now what are you going to tell them? What are you going to say to that person that they just have no chance whatsoever of going to a doctor? Are you going to tell them that it doesn't work for them, or that it's something that they have to approach God differently? No. See, that's where you're going to find a little problem, because it has to work the same for every single person. Believing God has to work the same. And if we're going to tell the person that doesn't have access to a doctor, that lives, that's, poor as dirt, we're going to tell them, you better have faith. Well, we better have faith too. And it needs to work exactly the same way. Glory to God. And I think too many times that it's just simply the fact that we just don't know how much our Father loves us. That's where the real problem is. It's not our lack of loving Him. It's our lack of knowing and believing His love for us. That's where the disconnect is. That's where the fearfulness comes in. Because we just simply don't know. We don't know how much He loves us. And we need to be seeing on the inside of us. Just as Jesus is in heaven, so are we in this world. And He, my friend, he is not sitting there biting his nails. Oh my gosh, what are they going to do down there? Can you imagine this? I'm just scared to death. Yeah, that's not coming out of Jesus' mouth. He's not fearful. He's not afraid. And he doesn't expect us to be afraid. But the way we get this way, this fearlessness, this confidence, is by knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. That will just kick fear right in the side of the head and send it packing. How can you say that, Mark? Because as this has been developing on the inside of me, my appreciation, my knowing and believing God's love to me, fear has been leaving me. I'm not struggling with being afraid of things. Am I completely free of all fear? I'm heading in that direction. I may not be completely there yet, but I'm heading that way. And I attribute it to what God has been showing me. I attribute it to beginning to know and believe his love to me. Let's go on here. Let's read a little bit more. There's no fear in love, but perfect love. See those words? Perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Go back to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Do you see that he's trying to point us in a direction here? He's telling us this knowing and believing the love that God hath to us, herein is our love made perfect. If you're fearful, you're simply not made perfect in love. Why is that, Mark? Because you don't know and believe the love that God hath to you. You just don't know how much he loves you. You don't know. You don't have that revelation yet of his love for you. When you have it, when it's beginning to develop inside of you, that perfect love, I'm telling you, it sends fear packing. Fear may try to come in. It may try. It may sit there and knock on your door and want to come in, but it can't. It can't come in because you are made perfect in love. Hallelujah. Are you getting that? I tell you what, it's exciting for me. I am starting to see this in a light that I have not seen it before. You know, just those two words back in verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Those two words. Known and believed the love that God hath to us. And, as I read it, it's like, oh my goodness, that's what you've been trying to show me, Holy Ghost. Knowing, believing, and the realization that I had been walking in the dark, not knowing and believing the love that God hath to me. But now that I am, I'm seeing the fruit of what's being said here. And I'm seeing that fearlessness is the result, that this herein is our love made perfect, because I am knowing and believing the love that God hath to me. And the result, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. The result is fearlessness. When you truly know how much your Father loves you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It changes you. I'm telling you, there, and I've mentioned this already, there have been times here lately that I'll just stop and say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Now I'm gonna add to that. I do know, and I do believe the love that you have to me. That's my confession. That's my confession. I do know, and I do believe. I do know, and I believe the love that you have to me. Because I know that as this revelation develops inside of me, herein is my love made perfect, and perfect love cast out fear. My fearfulness in the past has been because I just didn't know and believe the love that my Father has. I just didn't know. I didn't spend the time to allow it to develop, to allow the revelation to develop on the inside of me. And see, when it's only in your mind, and it's simply mental assent, in other words, you see the words, you acknowledge that they're true in your mind, but there's not the heartfelt revelation, you're not benefiting the way you could when that revelation goes from your head to your heart and it explodes. Then you're going to be able to walk in the fruit of that. Then you're going to be able to enjoy the fruit. And I'm telling you, fearlessness, that's the fruit. Because that perfect love casts out fear. See, I think for the longest time, my impression was that the perfecting of the love was by me telling God how much I love him. I love him. Oh my goodness, yes. But I had the impression that by me telling him that, that was how the love was being perfected. Now as I read more closely these words, I'm seeing that it's not necessarily me telling him, but it's me believing and knowing the love that he has for me, has to me, excuse me. And then it's, as you follow down there from verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love. And where's the perfect love from? Yeah, the perfect love is by the knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. Verse 18 again, there's no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's how we want to, that's how we're going to be made perfect in love. By just simply knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. And then that leads us right into the verse that has been more or less the cornerstone of this message. We love him because he first loved us. Does that not match what is being said in the 16th verse? We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We love him because he first loved us. Do you see the cohesiveness in those two ideas? Those go together. That whole thought beginning in verse 15. 16, 17, 18, 19, those are all, it's like sandwiched together. That's all the same idea. That's all the same thought. He's trying to get us to see where this perfect love, how it's developed, what it will do when it's developed inside of us. And the fact is that we have this because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go over to, with that in mind, we want to look at a few of the issues with fear. For those of you, since we're on this topic, let's just touch on a few of the fear issues. All right. So go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to read verse 6 first. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. We're not to be fearful. We're just simply not to be fearful. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but what did he give us? But of power and of love. Power and love and a sound mind. He didn't give you a spirit to be fearful. See, that's what you had before you were born again. That fearfulness, that was all part and parcel of spiritual death. You're not spiritually dead anymore. You have been born again if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And now you're a child of the kingdom of God. You're a son of God. And we have the capacity to walk in faith and not fear. And what he's saying here, as we look at the thought, go to verse 8. I'll read the rest of verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Here is a fear, this is a big fear for a lot of Christians. The fear of giving just a witness of what you believe. See, we're coming to a time period in the world today where the beliefs of what the Bible says, of what the Bible teaches us, are not popular anymore. They're, you know, now it's alternative lifestyles. Now it's marriage between a man and a woman it's almost like it's obsolete. And every opportunity that Hollywood gets to demonstrate all the alternatives, they're taking them. And having a witness, a testimony of the goodness of God, the power of God, and being able to share that with people. I'm telling you what, people are becoming afraid to do that. They're not sharing the truth. And one of the things that you need to be aware of is this. You know, the mentality that the world has right now is, you know, if you're a Christian, you're a hate monger. That couldn't be farther from the truth. If you're a Christian, that you don't believe in same-sex marriage, you don't believe in homosexuality, and consequently, then you're a bigot, then you're a hater. If we don't tell people the truth, we hate those people because we are not willing to subject ourselves to the consequences. We have to tell them the truth. The only way that we're going to tell them the truth is because love is developed in us, because we know how much our Father loves us. And as that reality, as that believing, as that knowing takes root in us, we're going to be better able to share that love with the people. And that love is going to be shared in telling them the truth. If we don't tell them the truth, they're going to suffer and die. And you know what happens if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life? The consequence is hell. And if if we don't tell them, it's because we truly don't love them. Well, Mark, you never know what they're going to do to us for sharing the truth with them. See, that's where we're coming to, folks. We have to love them enough to be willing to speak the truth, no matter what the consequences, and trust God that God will take care of us. And is that popular? Oh, heavens no. When you look at the churches today that are the big mega churches, you know, how many of them are truly teaching just what I said here tonight? Are they just teaching a message, a passive message, just so they can keep the pews filled? Are they loving their own people? Because if they're not giving them the truth, if they're just giving them something that they want to hear instead of the truth, they don't truly love their people. And I know, say, Mark, that's talking about a lot of folks there. Well, it's still the truth. We have to love people enough to tell them what they may not want to hear, what they may get upset about, because we love them and we don't want to see them burn in hell for eternity. And so that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. That's what Timothy was dealing with. And Paul is telling him, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, 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 and a sound mind. Timothy, you have to love the people. Have to love them no matter what. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The next one we want to look at is Hebrews chapter 2. This is another verse, a couple of verses, talking about the issue of fear. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him, that's the devil, that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We have been delivered from that. There should not be inside of us a fear of death. There should not be. Now, when you got born again, your spirit man became brand new, reborn, and was filled with the life of God. But your mind was not reborn. It has to be renewed according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And that causes the transformation in our soul by the renewing of our mind with what? With the Word of God, with the truth. So you come into this walk, you have a brand new reborn human spirit, but your thoughts, you're still programmed the way the world taught you to think. And the biggest fear that the world has is what? The fear of death. You know, I've shared this before when I was preaching on this topic. The enemy generally will give you these thoughts, these temptations to get into fear. And they always seem to go something like this. You know, Mark, if this happens, then this could happen, and this could happen, and then you'll die. And whether it's you're going to end up starving, and then you won't have any food, and you'll die, or it could be a sickness, and then you die. It always ends up when the enemy is tormenting you, it always ends with the same thing. It always ends with what? Death. And that's what he has to offer is death. That's what he has to torment us with. And so if we allow him, if we hold on to those thoughts, I'm telling you, he can paint such a horrible picture. You know, he can't kill us, but he can get us to accept defeat, accept the lie that we're not delivered, that we're not healed, that God has not delivered us from poverty. If he can get us to believe that and accept that, he's got us. He's defeated us. But there's no need for that because he's already defeated. Look at this verse again in Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Go to the last part of 14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. He destroyed him. The devil is destroyed. He is. He doesn't have any power over you. The only power that he gets over you is what you give him. By accepting his lies, by believing his temptations, by accepting that stuff. If you'll stop, you know, for what I've been through here lately, it's been physical symptoms, real live physical symptoms manifesting in my body, and the temptation that the enemy, he begins to play this little video of how this little thing right here is going to cause this and this, and you're going to die. And it's always been the same. You're going to die at the end. It's going to be, this is what's going to happen, and this is going to happen. And these symptoms are real. So what do you do, Mark? Well, I'm learning about how much my Father loves me. I'm beginning to believe and know in the love that he has to me, and as a result of that, I'm beginning to be fearless. When those things come, I speak to them. I command those symptoms off my body, and they leave. Do they leave instantly? Sometimes they leave instantly. Sometimes they try to persist a little bit, but they do leave. And all of that whole mini series of destruction that the devil has played over and over in my head, suddenly it's gone. I mean, I can on my fingers, I can count to you in the last 6 months the things that have happened just like this. And the symptoms were real and they were scary at times. And every one of them, as I have spoke to those symptoms, commanded them to leave, and kept myself out of fearfulness by focusing on my Father, and particularly here lately, by focusing on his love for me. I'm telling you what, I'm walking out of this stuff, and it's not this long period of time. The symptoms may last a little bit, but I'm walking out of them. And you can do the same thing. All he has is what we give him. The only authority that the devil has to torment us is the authority that we give to him. Don't give him any. Speak the word. Speak the truth. Command your body to line up with the truth. Now, the last fear that we want to talk about, we've talked about, the fear of death here. We've talked about the fear that Timothy had sharing the gospel. Here's a fear in Galatians. The Apostle Peter, he had a little bit of a fear issue. You see, Peter dealt with wanting to please men. And he had a fear of men. And you see that real, real good in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter had come to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, I withstood him to the face. Now, you know, that wasn't a pretty sight. You know, Peter, he was not happy. He was probably pretty fearful then, because he, that's Peter, was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Certain came, speaking of the leadership that came to where they were at. Peter did eat with the Gentiles. See, we're talking about a time period here where the church still had not wholeheartedly accepted the Gentiles. What did Peter do? Well, when he was with Paul, who was preaching the Gentiles, he was yucking it up with them, enjoying pork ribs, and fellowshipping with the Gentiles, all of which was against the law of Moses. And then came the leaders of Jerusalem, and what did he do? He withdrew and separated himself, look at this word, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was afraid. He was afraid of the leadership that was coming out of Jerusalem to check on the progress that was taking place in the church. And Paul called his hand on that hypocrisy. Peter was afraid of the people. He was afraid of losing the acceptance of the people. And consequently, he went against the truth of God's word. You've got to understand, and this really goes back more to what we looked at in 1st and 2nd Timothy. You've got to understand that the truth of the word of God will never change, and it's not negotiable. People may not like it. They may reject the word. And what happens a lot of times is the person that's delivering the message, they feel that sense of rejection themselves personally. No. If you're sharing the truth of God's word with somebody, when that truth is rejected, it's the truth that was rejected, not you. You've got to make that separation. You simply did what God directed you to do. Look at Peter. Look what happened to him. As a result of this, he went and committed hypocrisy and backed off of the truth. Don't do that. The truth is the truth. Share the truth the best way you can. And the biggest thing for you is going to be to know first and foremost that your Father loves you. People may reject you, but God will never reject you. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you receive something from that this evening. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this understanding of knowing and believing the love that you have to us. Glory to God. And I believe that as we explore this in our own lives, that we are going to walk fearless. That we are not going to be subjects of the enemy and be tormented and fearful, because we will know how much you love us. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.